Right, excellent. Well, it's good to see you all, or see some of your avatars anyway, even if it's not you in person. When we sort of started this group out, the initial invitation was really about those who felt called to any sort of governmental role in the kingdom, how that would outwork. And I just wondered, I think Donald is just sort of joined recently, but I would accept, probably understand you've also feel called to a governmental role in some way. So really just wanted to just touch base in terms of where people feel that their sphere of influence is, what God's called them to in terms of mountains. We started off talking about benches of three and God raising up benches of three around the world to begin to administrate the kingdom. Just interested really to see where people are with that, whether people have made any progress, whether people feel that they are getting more understanding, or just be useful to get some feedback, I think. Feel free.
Or is Dennis on?
I think you're on, Paula.
Okay. When I feel like I have like jurisdiction in about three or four different states, but I'm located in a capital of one of those states, and so I was wondering, the bench of three, I feel like I need to have a bench of three in this city. And I don't know anybody else that's doing what I'm doing and listening and journeying the way I am with Ian Clayton and Mike. And I don't know actually how to go about connecting, but I feel like there's other people out there that honor me and that would listen to me. And therefore, I believe I could connect with them, and I guess I'm just wondering if I should pursue that or wait till they come to me, or how do you figure that?
Okay, well, in if one person, usually a bench of three forms around one person who has the initial vision blueprint coming out of heaven, and then it's important then to begin to seek out those others. But I would do it from the perspective of engaging in heaven, around the ark, seeking for those people that God would draw. And if you don't know who they are specifically at that point, then I would release angels to go out and make contact with them, so that God can establish the relational connection in the kingdom. If it's not relational, any bench is never going to work. It will just become something that functions in a way but doesn't really carry the government, because you have to carry each other in your hearts as a bench of three. You've got to be willing to work through the process of transparency and openness, creating a culture of honor, which takes time. And God is not going to invest benches of three with authority that are not operating relationally, and are willing to pay the cost to develop that relationship. And that means real honesty and openness, and being able to carry each other, support each other. It took us here with two people that I've known for quite a number of years, about 5 months going through with each other, meeting every week, getting everything out on the table, dealing with issues of insecurity, why people struggled with taking responsibility for the roles, making sure that we dealt with trust issues, clearing away everything. And I'm involved in three others, two other benches of three, specifically, and we've gone through the same process, time, relationship, investing, and even when you're just talking and sharing heart and communicating, stuff's happening in the spiritual realms. Because you carry authority even before you get invested, and something begins to shift and something begins to prepare the way and open up opportunities and doors. But if people are willing to really invest in each other, in developing what they need, then there will be real fruit. And what you carry in your heart will then be, you will be enabled to govern, you know. And the whole issue with being a bench of three isn't about earthly recognition, it's about heavenly recognition. And so the key is for people to understand that this is not about seeking a position so that we will get the kudos of men. This is about being recognized in heaven, and in that heavenly recognition, it's looking for the angelic host to engage in that recognition so that we can begin to administer the kingdom. And I've seen several experiences with the bench of three, in different benches of three, it has exposed things. As soon as people have accepted that offer, then it's began to bring things to the surface. It's exposed things in people's lives, you know. And if you don't deal with those things, you're in a dangerous situation, really. And I think we must be willing to deal with whatever comes up. And I saw a situation where I engaged with a group of people who were establishing a bench of three. They asked me to just talk with them. The person who asked me to talk with them, I warned them that this is not an easy process. If you want to really embrace it fully, you have to really engage in it. And I just hung out with this group, talked to them, shared with them. Basically, that was it. I just sort of said, look, if there's anything I can do to help, please feel free to ask, but that's as far as it went. Just that engagement with somebody who was talking to them on a level of understanding just raised huge insecurities. People's positions were being threatened, and it just exposed stuff. And you know, that person just decided, this is not for me. This is not the place. This is not a place yet which is ready, mature enough to handle that. So I'm not going to join in with a bench of three that are going to be squabbling over who's the preeminent position and who's this. Bottom line is, when you operate in a bench of three, you will be coming from usually one of two or three of prophetic, apostolic, and kingly functions. You do not want a pastoral position on the bench of three. It will, and I'm not talking about someone who's got the title of a pastor who's ministering in a church. I'm talking about someone who carries a pastoral gift, mercy gifts, redemptive gifts, because they'll continually be looking at the earthly situation rather than the heavenly one. It can create massive tension. You have to have unity. Our bench of three has apostolic, prophetic, and a kingly function. And when we step into heaven together, we see from the different perspectives. And so you begin to see a different, and you honor that perspective because it gives you the fuller, bigger picture. It doesn't matter who brings what. We best step in together. We begin to engage. We see. We come out. We share. We get a bigger picture. We then begin to, that releases things in our hearts, particularly in the prophetic, that often releases dreams, visions, things that someone's seen, that ties in here, and you begin to get a big picture. That then you need, okay, what do we need to do now to administrate this? In our situation, we then look for earthly agreement so that we can turn three into four and open up a window of heaven. But in other situations, the key that then is to get strategic administration of whatever it is you're operating in. And ultimately, any bench of three, depending on what it is, really needs to begin to engage lifting other people up into positions of authority, even if it's just in the realm of the spirit and releasing that to occupy, if it's a city, the mountains of the city, who are going to be the gatekeepers, who's going to administer that city, and as you begin to operate in that, God will give you the strategy for seeing those people come about, into connection in relationship with you. Because this isn't something you can plan and try and work out from an earthly perspective or in an analytical way. It's got to be coming out of heaven, and it's got to be a heavenly strategy. You know, and some people who get raised up by God into those positions may never know that someone is calling that forth, calling it into being, administering that in the realms of heaven. They may never know that. But then that doesn't matter, because we're not in it for people to know. We're in it for people to be released into the function of their government so that we can administer government across our city or our region, town, whatever it might be. So, you know, there's a really important picture there to function in, really. So, you know, when it comes to it, this is not a short-term, easy thing. This is something for people who carry something in their heart. You know, if you don't carry your city or your region or your church or whatever it is in your heart, if you've not cultivated the desire of God for that, then you won't have authority to release it. You can govern only really that which you carry and that which you've cultivated. And it takes time to cultivate desire. You know, what is God's desire for my church? It's not my desire, it's his desire. I need to cultivate that by getting a blueprint from heaven, engaging in heaven, seeing it from a heavenly perspective, then releasing that so that others can embrace that. You know, and as a bench of three here, I'm no longer allowed to administer and administrate certain things because we have other groups who do that, and I can't usurp their authority, even though I nurture them and I encourage them and I carry them in my heart. It's their realms and spheres that they need to take responsibility for, which means you cannot afford to have any manipulation or control operating in a bench of three. It has to be about nurture, about release. It's not a pyramid perspective. It's an upside down. Benches of three are foundational for others to be built upon. And so, yeah, you may need to be stepped on so that people can get a foot up and they can go higher, because that's really the heart of God. So you're wanting to release people, not actually constrain them or restrict them. And that means trusting them to do what God is calling them to do rather than do it your way. And if you're in any way used to administrate in a church in terms of what maybe the lead minister or the chief leader or whatever people call it, and then you start releasing people to operate in mountains and in government and in seven things, you can't control it. You have to let them and encourage and nurture them. And then when they make mistakes, you have to encourage them to learn from those mistakes and to grow through them and honor them in the process, because we learn sometimes more from our mistakes than getting things right, you know. And all that comes down to honor. It's all about honor. It's not about this image of God that he's waiting to pounce on us, and we cannot present that ourselves. We're there to nurture and to encourage and release, and that means sometimes taking our hands off. You know, and it's getting the right balance. You know, you want to support and encourage, but you don't want to be too heavy-handed in any approach in these areas, particularly if you're working with people on the ground. It's really important. So, yeah, I mean, it's a real key thing that God is going to really start to begin to raise people up. You know, as the ecclesia begins to gather around the world, there are ministries and there are people who are being positioned right now in the kingdom to act as chancellors, who will have key revelatory knowledge that will enable the mountains to work together, to function together, and God is raising them up you know, and I believe I'm connecting with some of those people. I think there will be, again, maybe no one will ever know other than those people, but God will have a council of 12 that are there to administer, setting up cities of refuge, you know, basically places on the earth or in the atmosphere that will begin to be, I call them embassies of heaven, because they live under the government of heaven on earth from another governmental system. They're not constrained by the financial system, they're not constrained by the health system or any earthly government, because they are embassies of heaven on earth. Those embassies are not for diplomacy. They're not for making pacts or covenants with the enemy. They're for conquest. They're to bring dominion. They are to subdue and overcome and bring the kingdom and see an expansion of the kingdom. Another way of thinking about it, they are gardens where God has given his presence to cultivate, and that garden is supposed to then water the world and spread and advance. Because, you know, the initial call to Adam and Eve, you know, to be blessed, to be empowered to succeed, was to be fruitful, to be multiply, fill the earth, and have dominion. And Jesus is not going to return until that dominion has been restored, because it says in Acts 3:19-21 there, what it says is he's going to remain in heaven until everything spoken of in those ancient times is going to be fulfilled. And the first ancient thing that God spoke in commissioning Adam and Eve was be blessed, be fruitful, be multiply and fill the earth, subdue it, and rule, have dominion. And unless we do that, there is no way that he's coming. And in 1 Corinthians 15, it says the same thing. He's not going to hand the kingdom back over to his Father until everything's under his feet, one way or another. And I believe we're his feet on earth. So we need to learn how to administer and govern. And I believe God is going to set up these cities of refuge all over the world. And we're going to begin to expand the kingdom, because we're operating from a different system. We have authority and power. This is where true sonship is going to be expressed. And this is where the mountain of the house of the Lord is going to be raised up above everything else. And everything that needs something is going to come, whether it's physical food, whether it's spiritual food, whether it's healing, deliverance, protection, provision, blessing. We are not going to have lack. And we will be able to administer, and in a sense, this is what the whole order of Melchizedek is about. It's operating in a totally different order, manifesting the four faces of God on earth from a position of governmental authority, and releasing the resources of heaven to administer these. You know, I think about 5 years ago, someone gave a prophetic word here about a Latin phrase, which is castropona. And I was like, what on earth's that? But we've got a good linguist here. He went and found out. He said, in a Roman army terms, when they went into a region and they began to take ground, they would set up an administrative center where all the supply lines and everything would flow through so that they could go on and take further ground. They didn't just try to expand in a long line, and then they could get cut off at any point from the source. And these places are going to be the connections to heaven. You know, this is where the garden is going to overlap. This is where the river of life is going to begin to flow. And we're going to actually see the supernatural dimension of the kingdom manifested in awesome ways that we can't even imagine or think yet. Because when we begin to really be transformed and transfigured, and we begin to have no genealogy, and we begin to really deal with, so that we can be transformed into the image of Christ, then we are going to see radiating glory and manifestations of glory, not just the presence. You know, most of us are just enjoying the presence of God when we get together and when we worship and when we engage. We will see the manifestation of God's glory, and the whole planet and the whole of creation and the whole of the created order, spiritual and physical, will be set free from that which is holding it in bondage, according to Romans 8, into the freedom of the glory of the sons of God. So what glory are we going to manifest that's going to bring creation back into freedom? Because God has called us to be part of his government. You know, the 9 stones and the 3 stones make up full government. And, you know, then there's 9 is a complete number in one sense, because 3 plus 3 plus 3 is 9. So you have 3 of the Father, 3 of the Spirit, 3 of the Son in the 3 skins or layers, the 3 DNA layers and strands, if you like. And, you know, 9 always adds up to 9. So, you know, 9 times 2 is 18, 1 plus 8 is 9. 3 nines are 27, 2 plus 7 is 9. 4 nines 36, 3 plus 6, 9. It always adds up to itself, but it's not complete government because 12 is the number of government. And that means the 3 stones of man, our sonship, being joined to the 9 stones which covered Satan's body, so that we have a crown of 12 stones that can administrate from the fire stones of God, carrying also our government, which is awesome that God has chosen to use us that way. But, you know, Psalm 8 says he crowned us with glory. He made us a little lower than him and crowned us with glory, and he's given us dominion over everything, spiritual and physical. And I think that's the amazing thing, and that's what Satan didn't like when he looked into the firestones and he saw the administration of the revelation that was in that firestones, which he should have absorbed into the stones of his body and then radiated out into creation. He decided that no, he didn't want to give up spiritual authority in the realms of heaven, so he was going to fight for it, hence where we're in now. But, you know, we have to subdue and overcome all that and take our position as sons to administrate the kingdom on earth. And, you know, I know that we're in a really key period. I feel that next year is one generation following the prophecy of the billionfold harvest, which was released in 1975. So a whole generation has lived under the atmosphere of that prophecy being released. And to be honest, most have been wandering around the wilderness. Only a few people have crossed over, spying out the land, engaging in a new dimension of the promises of our inheritance. And now we're 1 year away from that 40-year fulfillment, and now we've got to be called to account. And so next year I think there's going to be a challenge to cross, and many won't take up that challenge because they are not prepared to deal with the giants and dragons, and they actually prefer the wilderness. You know, but the wilderness, there was no possession in the wilderness. They owned nothing, and God moved them around continually so that they recognized that this was not their land. So they never settled, because their land was the promise to come. And so we need to understand that and realize that we need to step over. You know, Moses did not separate the Jordan that was flooded. They stepped by faith, and as soon as they took a step of faith into the river parted. So it's all about people engaging, not huge ministries and all the fivefold ministry orders. You know, a lot of them have missed it because they've created ministries rather than equipping the body for ministry. And God wants to reestablish something about everybody, nameless, faceless people of the order of Melchizedek, who will administer after that order, heaven on earth. And really, we will see some amazing things released. But we're in this place. Let's take advantage of this year, and let's get as much done in preparation as we can. That was you had a spill out of stuff that I've been nurturing and meditating on for a while, so anyone else want to share from their perspective of where they are in terms of understanding government or what they're called to or spheres? Feel free to share, and you know, if not, you know, we'll just go from there. But
hey, Mike, this is Stephen.
Yeah,
We have a couple of groups now. It's been, you know, getting everybody on the through the basics so that we can get them everybody pretty much on the same page. We have probably one of our groups are situated all across the United States, so we come together by phone, and then I'm part of a couple other groups that I'm learning from. But the Lord had my wife and I start one, and when at first I was like, oh no. So we prayed about it for a while, and then so we started that about a month ago, and it's going really well. And we're starting to we asked the Lord to bring people around us here that we'd have in our own city that we could sit a bench of three up with. So that's starting to happen now. We've got people that are meeting here in our city. After we had Ian up for a conference in April, I think it was April, we met with ended up meeting a lot of people that are even in the Austin area and some in the Dallas area. So after meeting the ones here in Austin, we're now starting to get together. And now the questions I'm bringing up is we need to form a bench of three and assume a bench of seven. I'm not there on that yet. We're still trying to I don't think anybody wants to rule over anybody. Everybody has the same heart. We just want to serve. We're going up what the Lord is, I feel like the Lord's been doing with us in our group is just kind of acclimating us. I know that we have a responsibility. We don't just go up and down to go up and down. Yeah. We're engaging the mandate for the group. I've asked, I've gone up and asked to see the book and what's he want us to do. So each time we go up, we don't have a pre-planned place we're going to go. We just ask the Lord to verify our through the going up, where are we going? And then, I feel like we're about a month into it with one group that he had a start, and they're getting a feel for it. And I feel like the Lord is fixing to have us start going into courts and doing some things there, which I've done with some other groups, but specifically this one, I felt like he's kind of grooming us to start going in, and I don't know what we're going to do. They're all open and willing to go and do whatever the Lord's wanting us to do there. So there's 12 of us on that call.
Yep.
That's been fun. Been interesting. I don't know. I haven't been that many places in heaven where I can map it out. I'm like, okay, Lord, where are we going? And we're just kind of, going through it, learning as we go. And but God's been gracious. So I feel like we have some people here that in the city now that we can start doing some things, because we'd already done some things in the courts for Austin.
Yeah.
And we've seen the outcome in the natural. Nobody knows what we're doing behind the scenes. It's what you were talking about. We're just going in, and a lot of it's just repentance and seeing court cases. And some for America, so I've seen the Lord start us here. We've done some stuff for the nation.
Yeah.
And we haven't gone out from there yet, but I know the progression of that as we faithfully serve is it'll grow. But it's been an adventure and a learning process. Yeah. But it's certainly exciting and
yeah.
Forward to. I listen to stuff when I can't be on here. I go listen to you. So I've learned a lot from listening to your these sessions. So I want to thank you. We appreciate you and what you do. So thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. I mean, I think the protocols of what you do in a bench is one that you have to learn. And you have to learn how to engage it and you grow in it. I'm sort of mentoring our sort of 12 group and taking them some deeper now into some things. How it works for us, we have a book, which we can see, we can open some of the pages. Some of those pages we've already outworked and we're established because they give strategy. Some of them are invitations to things. And so you know, we stepped in together last week and opened the book, saw some things. You know, one of the things we dealt with in the courts is lack of responsibility, people struggling taking responsibility, and we did a whole, okay, let's go in and find out the accusations. Why are people struggling to step into what they're, who they are in terms of government? And we found out that you know, there was a whole host of things. Once we did that, next time we stepped in as a three, we found out that God gave some invitations to take responsibility for some things. And we had two fiery scrolls that I'd seen in the realm of the Spirit in our, some of our Sunday meetings, that Jesus turned up with this scroll, and it's like, you know, he didn't wait for anyone to go and take it, because it was like, hey, here's an invitation, but you need to deal with some stuff. You know, we had some other, one of the men in white linen showed up with a scroll. So I was aware of these scrolls, but when we saw them in the book, it was like, okay, now are you willing to take responsibility for this? So what we did is that we, having had that, and we had a lot of revelation around it, and things like visions and dreams all of a sudden start to make sense when you begin to picture that come out of that. And, you know, I saw some things. One of the other guys saw some stuff, and the lady who's with us on the bench, you know, she prophetically released some dreams and a vision she was shown on the previous Sunday. And so we then take it to our 12. You know, we take it to the 12. We lay it on the table. This is what we've seen. What we've got heavenly agreement with this. Are we going to have earthly agreement? And in a sense, you know, we spelt out, look, this is the implications here. So it was like, yeah, okay, yeah, we agree. We accept responsibility for this, for these scrolls. So we stepped into heaven and into the ark, and we took that into our hearts. And that was the key. You know, you can be given a scroll, but until you place the scroll within and you take it into your heart, and then you begin to create and cultivate desire and the desires of God for that scroll, then it's just a piece of paper or it's just a vision. As soon as you take it, then like Ezekiel, he was told to eat the scroll, take it on the inside, then you begin to find that everything about the desires of your heart begin to be drawn towards that, and you shape things around that desire, and it just grows and develops. We stepped in, you know, sought for individual mandates that might be associated with that scroll, or these two scrolls, came back out. People shared the mandates that they felt were given, and then it was like, okay, now we need to deal with this that we've been shown, that One of them was taken into Satan's trophy room, shown something that had been robbed from us, was given it back, and then it was like, okay, why was it robbed? So we had to take it into the court. Everybody, we step back into the court. What are the accusations? Find out there's a whole A4 page of accusations that give legal right to the enemy to rob from us one way or another. Some of them going back 20 years, and we then step back into the court and deal with it, you know, stand under the judgment of God and really judicially deal with the legal rights to remove them, then we can receive the heart of God back in that area. And then we can administer it. So we did that on the Sunday. We then, the person who received that, which was like a heart that was robbed, administered it to everyone on Sunday who wanted it, and so we then earthed it out, because there's no point having, you know, sort of heavenly stuff unless it has an earthly expression. And sometimes we don't get to do that, but others do. But actually, in this case, because it's a church situation, we were able to administer that, you know, and then that heart was taken back into the people to then enable us to fulfill the responsibility for the two scrolls. So God really starts to move things and show you things to bring everything back into order that then you can begin to administer. And so we do that. That's how we're learning to do it. You know, and the seven we have then they're responsible for the vision and for expressing that vision amongst the people. They got to go away and do the same process. How do what we carry in our hearts, how do we express that, how do we administrate that? Now I have to keep my hands off that, you know, because my role is to nurture them and to carry them in my heart and to call forth their gifts and abilities in the kingdom and to nurture them into government. And that's the role of the bench to the seven, is not to be above them, it's to be under them, you know, so that we can support them. So I think it's great, you know, excellent thing, you know, what God's doing, and yeah, keep going with it. Just make sure that you relationally develop the bench in that honor, culture of honor. That's a key. But it's good. Excellent. Anyone else want to share anything from where they're at? Sort of in the, any sort of understanding of government or mountains? Feel free. No, yeah.
If nobody has said anything, I have a quick question for you.
Yeah, sure.
Are there more than three strands of DNA? Can you have more than three?
Personally, I have three strands myself. So I have the two natural strands of DNA. I have a light strand, which is creative light, within holding the three together, and then that begins to transform the two natural strands into my eternal destiny as I release it. When I've engaged on the dance floor and when I've engaged on the fire stones, I've engaged with nine strands of God's DNA, which programs me. It's like, you know, you have, they have three strands each, which makes up the nine stones. You know, and they when they come around you and dance around you on the dance floor and you engage it, there's something that is encoded within the light of our spirit that then we, our light shines brighter, if you like, or it receives information. And when I've been on the firestones, my mind has not been able to contain it. Also on in that dance floor, my mind cannot connect with it, but my spirit does. And literally, it's like I begin to resonate with it, and as an alignment that starts to take place within that. So it, that revelation of it begins to program. And I found that when I'm on my mountain and I have a crown of 12 stones, there's been a shift in what's outworked from those 12 stones. And there's been a shift in me. And in my level of government, but there's also been a shift in the resonance and the frequency of those stones. Because I found I've been on my throne and a particular stone has started to resonate and that has gone through me and it gets released through me as a river, which I've never seen before. You know, I've had a river flowing out of my own heart and in my garden and I've engaged with the river of life. But actually, until I really started to engage the fire stones and I really started to get that DNA of God, and there's such levels of it. I mean, you know, the first level was just the nine fruit of the Spirit, which was just revelation of the nature and the character of God expressed in the nine fruit of the Spirit, you know, three from each of them. And then I began to engage at a deeper level of understanding some of the precepts of kingdom government that are in those fire stones. And at another level, you see, you know, the sort of the nine skins of God, you know, the way, truth, and the life, and righteousness, peace, and joy, and justice, judgment, and holiness. And so, that, again, that's nine things representing Father, Son, and Spirit at another level. And I think once you then engage in the firestones at a deeper level, then you begin to engage with the kingdom precepts and ordinances and commandments and testimonies of how you administer the kingdom, which is cool stuff. And you can't, my mind has just been frazzled trying to think of it, but my spirit has engaged it. It has actually encoded stuff within me that when I've been on my throne, I've I start to vibrate at that frequency of whatever stone it is. And that's how it's worked for me. And then my mind catches up because I begin to say things and do things and release things that I'd never thought about because they're just in my spirit, connected with who I really am, and they begin to just flow out like a river. You know, and a friend of mine, he was sharing, you know, being on his mountain, and God gave him this red stone, and he didn't know what to do with it, and he just thought, and his spirit just said, stick it in the river. And the river turned red, and it flowed out red, you know, and later on, it was like, you know, I said, well, what was that about? Was God speaking to you in the previous period about anything? Oh, yeah, he was speaking about this. All right, well, do you think that relates to this red stone? Oh, yeah. You know, and you find that God starts to program stuff and into your spirit that your mind hasn't caught up with yet, but then you engage it and it begins to be released like that river flowing out, which brings government. I mean, it releases that which is, you know, in the deep things of God. I mean, the deep calls out to deep. You know, it's the spirit that sort of searches the deep things of God, and our spirit knows everything about our heart. And they begin to engage, you know. I think this is joining together and becoming one. When you sort of stand on those fire stones, you become one. I mean, it's just such an amazing thing to experience when you just become one with something in a way which is very difficult to describe. I find it very difficult to describe, and I find, you know, it's sometimes overwhelming, you know. But out of that, you know, I've engaged with some chancellor issues that have come out of that since I've engaged that. I've had access to the court of the councils of the fathers since I've accessed those stones. I've been given a seal, which has enabled me to connect up with the seven high chancellors' houses and what they're about. And, you know, all that stuff, I'm on the edge of pursuing, because you know, I've got to keep going further. Because, you know, I want to equip people, you know, so I got to keep going further, and God just keeps sort of opening up those areas to pursue. You know, I'm just so busy at the minute trying to administer the sort of Joshua generation groups and this new manual things. You know, I'm like thinking, oh yeah, my spirit needs to go there, I need to go there, but I got to do this. And I'm sort of, I get torn between, you know, knowing what I'm doing right now, but the desire in my heart, you know. And I think you begin to engage at a different level when you engage around the ark and the four faces of God, when you begin to engage government. And I've found that, you know, that there where the, you know, the end and the beginning meet, and the engaging what was, and sort of my mountains and the things that are in my heart, what does it look like before? And I can engage there because you engage in the end and the beginning, and you manifest it into today. So I've looked back into the heart of God and the mind of God in eternity to see what did my mountain look like, you know. And I've seen things, and I've looked into what before the fall, what did my mountain look like when Adam and Eve were walking in the garden and beginning to establish government. And so you begin to see what it looked like in the beginning before it got altered or anything else, and then you can engage that with what is it going to look like in a year, 5 years, 10 years, 25, 40 years, whatever, and it ultimately in eternity, and manifest that in the present, because it's something you carry in your heart that you have access to the end and the beginning, you know, to be able to outwork it. But it takes nurturing there. You know, I'm just beginning to teach people to do that, because, you know, first we were just focusing on, hey, let's resonate with the presence of God. Then it's like, okay, let's start to see from the four faces. What is it like to look from in Him? Because in reality, you know, the nine strands of DNA really are us stepping into Him. So we step into the Spirit, we step into the Son, we step into the Father. And then they are around us because we're in them. Now, they're also in us. But when we step into them, then we have 9 and 3 makes 12. So we have fullness of government when we're fully in them. And they're fully in us. And so everything begins to then become, you know, whoever's joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. because we're stepping in. But you can't just, it's not just, you can't just say, oh, well, I step in and that's it. You have to cultivate what it is to step into the Spirit and feel the layers that that puts around you of righteousness, peace, and joy. And to step into Jesus. Now, we've been baptized into the Spirit. We've been baptized into Jesus. Some people have been baptized into the Father. So there's a sense that they may have stepped into something, but most people just don't get the fullness of it until they really begin to cultivate and nurture that and learn to engage it. You know, and I the last month, you know, I've had probably, you know, in June, more revelation than I've had in any other time and since December, you know, because in December I usually just spend a lot of time just engaging to see what comes out. But last month I had just overwhelming stuff, you know, just engaging, because what I was doing was meditating about stepping in, because he invited me to come deeper into the river, come deeper into the firestones, come deeper into his heart, you know, and I've been stepping into that and just feeling what it's like to be in there and security that brings, you know, and to be engaging the way, truth, and the life, to be engaging righteousness, you know, and to be engaging, you know, justice and judgment, but from the perspective of being in there, not looking outside, wondering, but stepping in and feeling what is it like to administer justice and to bring judgment out of love so that we can establish holiness from our righteousness that we are in heaven. You know, all this stuff has been, you know, just another deeper layer for me that it's been, you know, wonderful. I've just had a great month in the spiritual realm, just a great month, you know, because it's just like, but all I've been doing is waiting, you know, stepping in, just focusing on that, you know, and then that'll direct me into everyday mandates and stuff. But that's been my priority in that month, and I've, you know, I've had an awesome time. And then I know if I continue, that will take me into deeper and deeper and deeper places with God, because you can never plumb the depths, you know, of God. We're never going to plumb that depth. So it's like, but there's so much more we can understand and learn. But so, yeah, there's a lot around that subject of DNA and stones and stuff, which I like. You know, I mean, probably about 5 years ago, I was in a meeting and we were doing a basic supernatural seminar, and I was at the back in an exercise, and the Spirit God just spoke. He just said, "You must study or engage the nine stones." And I'm sort of like, at that point, I had no idea what nine stones were. You know, I had no idea whatsoever, but it set the desire to pursue understanding and entering into it. And as I pursued that, then revelation of the 12 stones has sort of come out of that. And, you know, the fire stones, because I had no idea what the fire stones were. I'd been on them. In my very first encounter in heaven, I was taken to these firestones. Never knew what they were, other than I experienced something absolutely profound that opened up the throne of God to me. I never really understood the full measure of it, and now I'm just beginning to get, you know, a couple of layers down into what is a multi-dimensional place of revelation for each stone. Awesome places to go. But they're all tied in with the same thing, the DNA, the 12 laws that come out of Zion, you know, the 12 elders who are responsible for those 12 laws, 12 elders who are responsible for the laws that come out of Jerusalem, all that stuff, you know, and the Council of the Fathers. I had no idea about that until I began to really look into these stones and begin to engage at a deeper level. Now that's beginning to open up. You know, I just need more hours in the day now, which I'm working on in terms of engaging, you know, at night, you know, when I sleep. You know, my spirit, I engage and I go to places in the spirit before I go to sleep. I've not cultivated the night watch. I've not found that easy to do, to stay awake, but my spirit goes to a place. When I wake up in the morning, I wake up with revelation. And sometimes that I'm full of stuff, and I just get up and write a whole load of stuff down, and I just, because I look to engage at night So that when I wake up in the morning, you know, my spirit's already been operating, because a spirit never needs any sleep, you know. I just need to train my soul not to need sleep. You know, my body can sleep and the rest of us can go around and engage. But I've not found that as easy yet as other things. But, you know, I'm willing to work at it. So yeah, there you go. Anyone else got anything? Anyone else want to share anything? Yep, no.
Can you hear me, Mike?
Nothing? Okay. Probably had a download of enough, I guess.
We're trying to share, but you can't hear us.
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah, you just need to unmute yourself if you're muted, that's all. Yeah, I can hear you, so carry on.
You can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm in agreement with everything that you're saying. And government is really what really, you know, I'm all about, and I love it. And I'm learning how to go on the mountain and learn how to go into the courts and do all those things and trying to exercise authority from there, you know, to see it outworked in the earth. I mean, that's where we're at. Every Sunday morning, you know, I pastor two churches here, but every Sunday morning our main church, I mean, that's what we do. The whole congregation, we step in and we go into heaven together because we're all on the same page. That's what we want. So, you know, I'm experiencing a lot of new places. I'm trying to really get a grasp on how the court systems work, where I need to go to do for what, to do this and then what, because I really want to be effective. And yeah. I don't want to wait God's time or my time, you know, just running around not knowing what I'm doing. So, you know, and I've been in some places that I'm really not sure where I was, but it was good, you know, and the Lord, you know, the Holy Spirit would tell me what I need to do and where I need to go and so on. So, you know, I'm learning, I'm growing. I love what you're teaching. You know, I'm right with you. I'm on that page, and things have really opened up even since I started listening to you and going back on the mentoring sessions. You know, you don't know to go in a place if you don't know it exists, so, unless the Lord just sovereignly takes you there. So that's what's happening. A lot of things are opening up. It's really good. You know, my tribe is seeing outwork of your revelation to see the reality of it. So I appreciate everything you're doing.
You're welcome.
Okay. Hey, Mike, have you ever thought about putting together a map of heaven and all the places you've been?
Who was that? I didn't catch that.
Have you ever thought about putting a map together of all the places that you've been?
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, that's part of this mentor sort of interactive discipleship program that I'm sort of, you know, beginning to, you know, I thought I might get a couple of groups of 7 or 8. I've got 130 applications so far. But that includes a journey map for the pathway of relationship, engaging through the realms of our own soul, spirit, out, and then up into the realms of the kingdom in heaven and the garden of God. It also maps out the pathway of responsibility, so all the different court systems, where all the things are that I've engaged in the realms of heaven, you know, where the training halls are, where the different places, so that the whole thing's mapped. And basically, I want to take people on that journey so that they can experience it, understand how to use it, and then engage it. So, yeah, I've mapped it all out. And I keep adding new bits to it when I discover something else, you know. So it's an ever-increasing experience of something which is ongoing, you know. But you know, I found some key places that you can engage, and by engaging there, that gives you then access into other places. I think some problem is so many people have had many, many experiences, but they're involuntary and they don't know how to access those things when they need to in government. And I think that's why, obviously, everything has to come out of relationship and righteousness, but we need to learn how to govern, and you know, engaging with the different courts and everything is all part of that process. So, yeah, I've mapped it out, and I'm sharing that journey map with people on this process of teaching people to engage. So, yeah, excellent. Okay, well, let's leave it there, and hopefully we can engage in a couple of weeks, which would be good.